All right, pre-marriage discipleship, part 6, talking about sex. Intimacy, let's just say intimacy, that's just easier word to say. Okay, so I apologize in advance. There may be some awkward pauses. That is because I'm trying to edit this as I go. Like, I made some mental edits earlier, but I didn't actually cut stuff from the notes. So I want to make sure it's like, for you guys are getting the PG-13 version of it, so that, you know, some of you guys are not getting married for a while. Okay, so a lot of this stuff, have you guys read Meaning of Marriage by Tim Keller? You have. Oh, great. Okay. So a lot of this is from, I think, early on in his book. I actually haven't finished it, but I'm pretty sure I read through this part of it, because I think this is at the beginning where he starts talking about the culture and how people view marriage, how people view intimacy. So here's just some of the worldly views of sex. A lot of you guys may have experienced these. Maybe you guys still have these, struggle with these views. But we're going to kind of compare the worldly views and kind of what you guys are fire hosed with in our culture, especially being young and, you know, college campus and all that, even younger before that, and compare that with the biblical view. So he puts forth three views. One is called sex realism, where basically sex is like food. It's just a natural appetite, like hunger is. So to withhold meeting that appetite is not a healthy thing. It's like starving yourself. So naturally, you should just have sex as frequently as you feel like you need it. You know, don't overdo it. Like, it's unhealthy to overeat. So in this view, all sex is right as long as it's safe and in moderation. Okay? A lot of that you guys probably see on the college campus. A lot of people just have that view. Sex is just something you do. It's just very natural. It's good. And there's like no consequences. In fact, it's a need. So that's sex realism. Another one is called sexual Platonism. So basically, this view is that sex is part of the physical nature and not connected to the spiritual nature at all. So it's basically, this is a necessity for the propagation of the human race, having kids. It's simply a physical act and necessary to reproduce. So some will go as far to say that spiritual people refrain from sex because sexual pleasure was not appropriate for high-minded people. Kind of a weird phrasing, but also in this view, sex is often seen as dirty or tainted in some way, which is why the really spiritual people should avoid it. So maybe this is a view that you guys have had at some point or even had communicated to you. I think sometimes it can be present in the church that even that sex is like a bad thing. I guess the later part of that, especially. The third view is sexual romanticism, which I think is the most prevalent. But sex is seen as a critical way of self-expression, the way to be yourself or to find yourself. For sexual romantics, the love you feel or don't feel with someone is what makes sex right or wrong. So it's okay as long as you love the person. There's no connection to morality. It's just based on feeling. Right? And that's one that you probably see a lot of people somewhere, maybe in between the first one, the sex realism, where it's just an appetite, and the romanticism, where it's like, oh, it's okay if you love each other, or if you feel right about it, then it's an okay thing. So this is the biblical view. It's pretty different. So first, you see early on, Genesis 2, right away, sex is part of a binding act. So the two men and women are becoming one flesh. It's not just physical, but it's emotional and spiritual. That's what I love about the biblical view. It's holistic. It's not just a physical act. It's not just, oh, romantic feelings, and then it accompanies those. It's like physical, emotional, spiritual, all in one. It's like an expression of the oneness you guys have. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, run from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Right? There's this clear connection between the physical body and the spiritual. Also, intimacy involves passion and pleasure. All right, like, we don't see that in one of the worldviews of the sexual Platonism. But the Bible teaches it does involve passion and pleasure. And this is like a combination of vulnerability, it's commitment. They're expressed in this. And you guys might have heard the phrase make-up sex. And some couples, you know, we hear that sometimes. Couples share that or joke about it. But there is the reality of what it hits at is that there is a part of intimacy that comes through being vulnerable, even having that conflict. Like, you guys have probably experienced conflict in your relationships. And then you feel like a closeness when you work through it and resolve it. And that's where a lot of the sexual intimacy, passion can come in, is as you grow in your marriages, there'll be a deeper sense of oneness, a deeper sense of vulnerability, of trust. You guys will have years of building your security, building that trust. And sex will be a part of that. It's not separate. It's not just a physical act that you do throughout your marriage, but there's actually growth in this area because it is holistic and involves those things. And the third thing is that the Bible talks about that it's covenantal. It's only for marriage. And there's a clear difference. You know, the Bible talks about sex before marriage and after marriage. Before marriage, it's forbidden by God. It is fundamentally selfish, and it leads to guilt and shame. And a lot of you guys may have, you know, some of you guys may have experienced that in your lives. Some of those things, especially like the guilt and shame part of it, and that's okay. God can redeem those things, and there's grace. This is where the gospel like comes in hardcore in your marriages. After marriage, it is blessed by God. It is fundamentally selfless, not selfish, and it leads to freedom and intimacy and oneness. And it's beautiful that God puts it in this context of covenant, right? It's the ultimate commitment. Ultimate commitment before the ultimate act of oneness and intimacy. This is a quote from Tim Keller. He says, "Therefore, if you have sex outside of marriage, you will have to steel or brace yourself against sex's power to soften your heart towards another person and make you more trusting. The problem is that eventually sex will lose its covenant-making power for you, even if you one day get married. Ironically, then, sex outside of marriage eventually works backwards, making you less able to commit and trust another person." Basically saying sex outside of marriage erodes trust, and sex within marriage builds trust. I shared this before, I think. There's a study of 100,000 women that linked early sexual experience with dissatisfaction in their present marriages, unhappiness with the level of sexual intimacy, and the prevalence of low self-esteem. And a focus on the family study says that among Christians and non-Christians, those who cohabitate before marriage are more likely to divorce. Isn't that crazy? What people say in the world is that you got to try it out, right? You need to know how this is going to be before you get there. And the statistics are in the opposite direction. People are less likely to stay married if they try it out or live together before they're married. So it's kind of sobering, right? We live in a sex-crazed culture. It's hard. You know, a lot of us come into our marriages with stuff from our past, and it can be hard. It can be hard for her to hear the other person's struggles. It can be hard to share your own, right? It can just be hard to see the brokenness. But just know that God intended it for good, and it's a great thing, and it is not ruined or damaged or whatever else that can be associated with it. God can redeem this in pretty powerful ways. And there's grace, guys. That's where the gospel is real and alive. Okay, so we're going to turn the corner a little bit and talk about the purposes of intimacy in marriage. Okay, the first one is procreation, aka babies. And the scripture talks about being fruitful and multiply. We talked a little bit about that in the purposes of marriage. So a practical from that is, you know, you guys can talk about this later again, but just even talking about kids. Some people don't really talk about how many kids they want to have. Great discussion to have at some point. Hopefully you guys have talked about that to some degree, but great conversation to have, because the natural consequences of intimacy are babies. That's what happens. So I don't know if you guys ever learned that in high school or anything, but that is how those are made. So just know, yes. That may be a consequence. So talk about kids, because that's a reality you guys might be facing. Second area is pleasure, or second purpose. So procreation, there's three P's. Procreation, pleasure, of course, yeah. I'm just going to change the word on the last one just so you don't have a P word just to mess things up. You guys can read, you know, Song of Songs at some point if you want to. You know, it's a great reference to just seeing the pleasure of sexual intimacy. Proverbs 5:19 says, "She is a loving deer, a graceful doe. Let her breast satisfy you always. May you always be captivated by her love." You know, when you hear passages like this in the church, or, you know, when we did our Song of Psalms series, it might made you feel a little uncomfortable. And a lot of times, I think it is because, you know, we're consistently fighting for purity, right? We're fighting a battle of purity, and you guys are going from fight, everything's a fight, to, oh, this is okay now. So there may just be some natural, like, knee-jerk reaction of, whoa, sexual pleasure, not okay, you know. But just know that this is one of the purposes of sexual intimacy is pleasure. And it's a gift for you guys to express your oneness, but to also enjoy each other, enjoy your oneness. It's a very beautiful thing, and that is all we will talk about that for now. Actually, one other thing. This is a practical that you guys will get to at some point. I would say probably your last mentor couple time before your wedding dates is just talking about expectations of your wedding night. Because I think a lot of times people can take this to the degree where they have expectations on how things are going to look. Especially for guys, it can just be a struggle to have expectations on the wedding night. So for you guys to be able to talk about it ahead of time, not now for you guys, but at some point, you guys be talking about expectations, would be really good. And just being okay to ask for help too. I think this is an area, this purpose, the pleasure, where people can have expectations, or the flip side of, like, super deep insecurities, and they will tend to live in silence and not bring them up. So for you guys to be able to talk about them with other couples, you know, couples that you trust, if you feel comfortable talking to your mentor couple. We've had phone calls from people on their honeymoon asking about this area, and that's great. And we are happy to fill those phone calls, because we know it's a very important area, but it's also an area of, like, insecurity and newness and vulnerability. And so it's okay. Just know that stuff can come up, and that's totally fine and totally normal. And the final one is safety instead of protection. Final P is protection. Nick just stares me down. Protection. 1 Corinthians 7, 1 through 5 says, "Now regarding the questions you asked in your letter, yes, it is good to abstain from sexual relations, but because there is so much sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife, and each woman should have her own husband. The husband should fulfill his wife's sexual needs, and the wife should fulfill her husband's needs. The wife gives authority over her body to her husband, and the husband gives authority over his body to his wife." And this is interesting. "Do not deprive each other of sexual relations unless you both agree to refrain from sexual intimacy for a limited time, so you can give yourselves more completely to prayer. Afterwards, you should come back together again, so Satan won't be able to tempt you because of your lack of self-control." So Paul's hitting on a couple things. He's hitting on the reality that there is tons of sexual sin in the world. There's a lot of sexual temptation. And so he's saying, look, this is a great place. You know, each man have a wife. Wife have a husband, that is good. And you guys are giving over your authority of your body to your spouse. That's a great picture of the selflessness of biblical intimacy. And then he goes on even further. He says, don't not have sex, basically. So don't like ever use this, but you know, this is a command that's basically like, you guys need to be intimate. Don't deprive or refrain from sexual intimacy, except for just a limited time. So you can devote yourselves to prayer, but then afterwards come back together again. So Satan won't be able to tempt you because of your lack of self-control. So this is a protection for you guys. The reality of you know, maybe what you've heard or thought of, once we're married, there'll be no more sexual temptation. I will never struggle with masturbation again. I will never struggle with lust or with affection or attraction to someone else. That's just not a reality. So I don't know if you guys have thought about that or talked about that. The reality is that you will still be tempted in this area. And for everyone, it's a different, you know, to varying degrees, but you'll still have temptation in this area. A lot of times, you guys are tempted heavily towards your fiancé before you're married. There's a lot of temptation there, a lot of physical temptation. Once you're married, everything is fair game. That doesn't mean temptation go away. You may find that, oh wow, suddenly I'm like tempted with these people over here, and I wasn't before. You know, Satan is coming after us. He's like a roaring lion, prowling around, you know, looking for someone to devour. That's how Satan is described. So there may be temptation that even surprises you, but there's a reality that there's just a struggle here. And for you guys to have intimacy as a way of protecting you guys is a really good thing. So an example would be, you know, let's say the husband is really struggling with someone or feeling attracted to someone at work. This is a great way for you guys to build intimacy and build trust within your marriage, and for you guys to, you know, even protect him from having going down this road of lust or fantasizing. Obviously, a lot of that is up to, you know, the husband exercising self-control and walking in the power of the Spirit. But sex is a natural outlet and great way to protect your guys' marriage from this sort of temptation and struggle. So do you guys have any questions about that one? I know that can maybe come across a little confusing or like, what? But no questions about that one, the protection one? Okay. And just know that you guys may be tempted in different ways too. For men, just typically for men, can be more tempted by physical beauty or by just visual things. Women tend to be more attracted to you more on the emotional level. So just know that it may look different for you guys. For you guys to talk about that, talk about your struggles. Openness is so good and so healthy. Radical openness with a person in your life of the same gender. Like, I will be radically open with men in my life, but I'm also open with Megan. And there's, you know, there's a area there where you want to talk about what is helpful, because there can be a certain degree which, okay, that's more than is helpful for me to share, because now I'm just wondering, you know, what is going on there. But for you to have someone in your life of the same gender that you are radically, consistently open with, will really help you guys in this area. And then for you guys to just know your spouse is your first line of defense in temptation in this area. So it's not an area to hide things from my spouse. It's an area to be open, aggressively open. And even say, if you're not sure what to share, just say, hey, I'm struggling with something. I'm going to call blah, 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 and tell them, just so you know that someone is totally in the loop. So does that make sense? You guys might talk about this more in your mentor couples. You guys are the first line of defense for each other. And one last thing is just to, we talked about this, I think, a little bit with conflict resolution, but just to never use sex as a weapon or to manipulate. It just hurts your relationship and can tear down your marriage instead of building up. You guys may think, you know, no way I'd ever do that, you know, intellectually, but just know that, you know, in the heat of the moment, it may just be something where you find yourself tempted to use it in some way, you know, withholding, threatening, I don't know what, but just throwing that out there. And then just have a realistic view of sex that's different. You know, try to refresh your minds with what is biblically true and know that Hollywood does not paint an accurate picture of sex. There are struggles, there's conflict, there's issues, there's brokenness. there are times, I know it might be crazy, where your spouse is not like thrilled about the idea of sexual intimacy with you. That's just the reality, and that can go both ways. So we encourage people to just remember that this is a selfless act of love. And for some of you guys, that means, okay, being able to take a no of when I'm, you know, initiating or pursuing intimacy. Or for some of you guys, it's maybe being willing to say yes, even though I'm not feeling like it or excited about it right now, because it's a selfless thing. Hollywood paints this picture of it is about you and it's about pleasure, and it's just, you know, you guys know the picture that is painted. It's just this wild, perfect, you know, everything is great, intimacy picture. Just know that there's a reality which it takes work, and be willing to do the hard work. But it's so beautiful, right? It's just a great picture of oneness, a great picture of the gospel, and just a great place for you guys to really build trust and intimacy in your marriage. And know that God wants to bless you in this area. You know, a lot of times you can think, oh, God opposes sex altogether or whatever. But remember that God made sex, and he made it for good in the right context. And this can be a great area where you guys really experience God's redemption, and really experience, you know, the ability to show each other grace and receive grace, God's grace through your spouse, even healing too. So, okay, so I will pause and see if you guys have questions about any of that stuff. And again, if you guys have feedback of like, oh, that was too in depth or too much, let me know, especially you four, the front row. So shoot me an email or something, because I really want to learn how to do this well. So this new format, you know, we're putting it early for some of you guys. So.